should have seen all the emails that I got, I think the very day that I sent out the details and said, if you want to come, make sure you let me know. And everybody did. So, and of course, this is a time in which we are able to kind of let go of the things that typically fill up our minds and hearts, and really listen to what God is speaking to us in the context of our own lives. And we have the privilege of not only doing that during the course of this morning and a good part of the afternoon, but also just in the context of others who are also seeking God along the way of St. Benedict. So that's really a blessing. I'm going to give you a copy of our schedule for the day, just so that you have an idea of what we're doing. You'll notice that this is Bruce. There are two conferences, and some of you came to Mass this morning at the monastery already, but and people always ask, I was by people always ask this question, can I receive communion again on the same day? Yes, you can, so don't worry. I thought we were going to have a minor catastrophe today because later on this day there is a group of 8th graders coming to do a confirmation retreat. And this is the earliest time that I can recall them ever scheduling a confirmation retreat. And so I didn't bother telling Father Dan that we were going to be in here today until well after he had scheduled the confirmation retreat. And after he picked me up off the floor, we decided it was all going to work out fine. But we're going to have to think of it a little bit, and I know this isn't real Benedictine, because we talk about stability in the rule, but we have to think about it a little bit as a pilgrimage, too, because we will be moving around a little bit. We'll have our conference here, and then we'll move over to the large chapel for Mass, which we would have anyway. That's what we generally do when we have Mass. We'll come back here for lunch. So everything's normal so far. Now, after lunch, that's where it gets a little more interesting, because after lunch is when the kids are coming. And they actually will arrive at noon, but they're going to be over in the large chapel at noon, so they won't, you know, we'll still be here having lunch. But after lunch, they will need to come and use this building. But they also simultaneously need to use the large chapel as well. So that leaves us with only one other option. And the option is that we will be in, some of you have already been in this particular chapel, we will be going to the old monastery chapel, as you see on the schedule, for our final conference at 12:45. So, but you'll be able to find it because we'll all go there over there together. And for those of you who haven't seen it, I think it'll be a very interesting revelation. It's the chapel that we use as a community up until the year 2000. So for about 40 years, it was our monastic chapel, and so we'll have our final conference there. I'd like to begin, as we always do, with a portion of the Liturgy of the Hours. And since it's later in the morning, this is not actually morning prayer. This is actually daytime prayer. Or mid-morning prayer, or tares.
What
And as we pray this part of the Liturgy of the Hours, we ask the Lord that we be open to the graces that He has for us during this day of retreat. Brother Jacob, would you like to be the second reader? Okay. And I'll be the first reader. And if we could stand. And just as a reminder, we alternate side to side, right? Side one, side two. This is side one, and all the way up to Joan. And then side two is from Tina down to Brother Jacob. And I indicated here, as usual, the sides. But then I got tired of numbering the sides after about the second time. So you get it after it says side two, then et cetera. So the next stanza is side one. Okay. O God, come to my assistance.
O Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Hallelujah. Be present in our hearts, O Lord, and share with us your love divine, that we both true and fervent be in all that you do us assign. Accept our faith, our hope, our love. Accept our worship and our tears, and by the cross on which you died, protect us from all harm and fears. To you, O Blessed Trinity, be worship, praise, and reverence. To you be sovereign majesty, all beauty and omnipotence. See my lowliness, Lord, and save me.
See my affliction and save me.
For I remember your law.
Uphold my cause and defend me. By your promise give me life.
Salvation is far from the wicked, for I give us your statutes.
Numberless, Lord, are your mercies. With your decrees, give me life.
Though my fellows are restless and restless, I have not swerved from your will.
I look at the faithless with disgust. They ignore your promise.
See how I love your precepts. In your mercy, give me life.
Your word is founded on truth. Your decrees are eternal.
Though the princes oppress me without cause, I stand in awe at your word.
I take delight in your promise, like one who finds a treasure.
Lies I hate and detest, but your law is my love.
Seven times a day I praise you for your just decrees.
The laws of your law have a great peace. They never stumble.
I await your saving help, O Lord. I fulfill your commands.
My soul obeys your will.
I obey your precepts and your will. All that I do is before you.
Lord, let my cry come before you. Teach me by your word.
Let my pleading come before you. Save me by your promise.
Let my lips proclaim your praise, because you teach me your statutes.
Let my tongue sing your promise, for your commands are just.
Let your hand be ready to help me, since I have chosen your precepts.
Lord, I long for your saving help, and your law is my delight.
Give life to my soul, that I may praise you. Let your decrees give me health.
I am lost like a sheep, seek your servant, for I remember your commands.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
See my lowliness, Lord, and save me.
Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envious of one another. Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What joy to see a family united in love.
The blessing of God rest upon it. Let us pray. Lord, fill us with the resplendent light of your eternal love. May we love you above all things, and our brothers and sisters for your sake. Grant this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us praise the Lord.
Thanks.
May the souls of the faithful departed to the mercy of God rest in peace.
Amen.
May divine assistance remain always with us. And if we could pray together the prayer to Saint Benedict.
Holy Father Benedict, blessed by God in grace and in name, while standing in prayer with your hands raised to heaven, you most happily yielded your angelic spirit into the hands of your Creator. You promised that all sleep to defend against the snares of the enemy, in the last struggle of death, those who shall daily remind you of your glorious departure and your heavenly joys. Protect us this day and every day by your holy blessings, that we may never be separated from our blessed Lord. From the company of yourself and all the blessed, we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
I'd like to introduce to you at this time Sister Connie Schoen. And Sister Connie is a member of the Dominican Sisters of Peace, which is a group that was formed through the amalgamation of seven congregations of Dominican women, including the Oxford Dominicans here in Oxford. And so the sister has been a Dominican Sister of Peace for just a few months now, I guess. And she is a woman with an extraordinarily rich background. As she gave me some indication of her past experience and ministry, I come to find out that she has been a special ed teacher. She has been and is an attorney, an advocate for the developmentally disabled, an advocate for the rights of women and children. She has been a director of adult faith formation at a parish in the area, an itinerant preacher. Itinerant, as you may know, means that she goes around to different places, different parishes, in order to preach retreats. She's been a co-director and director of something called the Parable Conference for Dominican Life and Mission, through which she participated and furthered the preaching ministry of the Dominican Order in the United States. She has also been on the Leadership Council for the Dominican Sisters of Oxford. And we're privileged, especially because Sister is kind of going through a little bit of a reformation of her responsibilities with, I think, the change of congregation and all of that, that she has the time to come and be with us today for our Day of Recollection. She's been carefully studying the Rule of Saint Benedict, and I think that from a Dominican point of view that she will have some fresh insights for us. Remember, we had a capuchin a couple of years ago, and that went well too. I think especially that she had the willingness to travel from where she is living right now, which is Chicago, to come to be with us today. And so we want to welcome you, Sister, and know that we are here with open minds and open hearts to listen to the Word of God.
Well, it's very humbling to have been invited to come and share this day with you. As Father John said, I am a Dominican Sister of Peace. Every time I say that, I get very, I become even more humbled because of what that means, our discernment. There were 7 Dominican congregations that decided they were going to come together in order to further the preaching mission. As you know, OP, after the Dominican name, means the Order of Preachers. And we spent almost 2 years discerning, which again is another very essential Benedictine quality, character of your own life. We spent 2 years discerning what the name, what we were asking God, what would you call us now? And I have to say the Dominican Sisters of Peace, and that was not high on the list. We had names, you know, Dominican Sisters of St. Catherine of Siena, Mary Magdalene, focusing on the tradition of the preaching, particularly for women in our tradition. But peace kept coming back. And the realization that when we look at the world, what greater preaching, what greater way of living than that whole sense of peace. So that's part of why I'm standing here. It was a privilege to spend some time with the rule of that you have based your life in, and to look at that in the context of the scriptures. Also, again, I'm probably going to say some things, I know I will say some things that are part of your bones, if you will, and that is good. So you'll hear them again, and we all know that St. Benedict, one of his favorite qualities and strengths of the community was perseverance. The over and over and over. We welcome the folks who just joined us. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I'm Sister Connie Shane. I'll be with you today. Trying to link together more in depth the scripture with the rule of St. Benedict. Now again, St. Benedict based everything he did on the scripture. Now, something that I found amazing in reading the rule is he's either paraphrasing in some form or other or quoting the scriptures. So that foundation for his own life, which he hands on. I'll periodically make some reference to Dominicans, so I hope you will indulge me with that. Because I was finding some interesting connections as we see the evolution and the movement of religious life and the pursuit, the seeking after God is an ancient story from the very beginning when there was a human consciousness to be about it. And I believe also as you sit in this setting, one of the greatest preachings and testimonies here is the beauty of the creation that's here, constantly speaking. There's never been a moment where there has not been a preaching about that which is divine. And so we come trying to, seeking our way to embody that. It's simply about being the incarnation. That's what the journey is. How do I incarnate God? And you all have been called to this particular way. the way of Saint Benedict. It's a bit intimidating at times. If you look at a rule that's 1,500 plus years old, I mean, what do you say? It's been practiced, it's been lived, it's been taken in, and it has borne tremendous fruit throughout the world and continues. So my hope today is to simply give maybe a new light on one aspect, or to reaffirm again that which you already know. One of the geniuses of Saint Benedict, and I have to say it was also true of Dominic. It's quite amazing that the only thing you really have of Benedict is his rule. And what Pope Gregory wrote. And yet we know more about him and who he was, most possibly, than if we had some handwritten biography of his. It's also true of Dominic. We have nothing of Saint Dominic other than the life he left. So it really, again, talks to the embodiment, the incarnation, which is very particularly Catholic. The divisions, the separation of the embodied and the spiritual do not exist in the Catholic reality. You can't separate this world from God's spirit. They're in union with one another. I was joking with John a little bit when he talked about he made reference to the pilgrimage that we'll be on today, moving a bit about. And I said, well, what came to my mind, well, we Dominicans aren't quite as stable as you all. Itinerancy is a part of our life. It's one of the pieces that Dominic inserted in terms of what was needed at the time. So it's really this amazing culmination of the spirit moving and working and people listening. People listening. When I hear that, it sounds so easy. But we all know the reality of what it takes, particularly in our culture, to listen. I find it difficult to listen sometimes when I'm by myself. So I have to let go of all of my excuses about that world out there being my problem. It's that inner sense of listening. That's what Benedict knew so well. I was a bit, when you read, and again, I don't know how much you thought of it, but can you, what would it take? What was he seeing? What was happening inside of him that he saw what was going on in the culture around him, in the Roman culture, and he decided the best thing he could do would be go live in a cave by himself. And so he did. The courage to step outside of everything and to do something radically different, to reflect on that. I don't know, maybe there are days when you wish you could just go live in a cave and say he had the better part. That was easy. Try and do what God is asking outside the cave, in the midst of everything else. But Benedict, as we will look at some of the rules, he created the inner cave, very much like Catherine of Siena, the inner cell. Didn't matter, he didn't have to be in the cave anymore. He carried it with him, that inner place where he always was in touch with that which is divine. That's the heritage, that's the tradition, that's the legacy that has been left. And no wonder, after 1500 years, we're still contemplating it. You know when something is true, when it has lasted that long, and what it is built on. So, it leads us to, if you want to open your booklet, or you can just listen, I have to say this too, this was another Dominican connection. This particular picture of Benedict, I chose it because it is by Fra Angelico, who is a Dominican. One of his art pieces, I thought. One of the elements of Benedict's life and the rule, this coming together of the community, is the interconnectedness. And we keep seeing it, and we keep seeing it if we are awake. Nothing is separate and apart. Absolutely nothing. So with that wonderful Dominican Benedictine connection and kindred spirit, I want to continue with today's gospel. It's from today's readings. One of the first things I always do when I'm asked to do something or present something, the first place I go is to the readings of the day. And I have found without fail, in all the years that I have been preaching, all the years I have been engaged in this life and before, it does not fail that the readings that have been called forth for the whole church community have some particular significance for the group that has chosen to gather. And that's where I found myself with today's gospel. And what I have come to know of St. Benedict's way of life, this gospel couldn't be a better choice. And so we have a reading from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person, out of the store of goodness in his heart, produces good. But an evil person, out of the store of evil, produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but not do what I command? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, listens to my words, and acts on them. That one is like a person building a house, who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the river burst against that house but could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who listens and does not act is like a person who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, it collapsed at once and was completely destroyed." It is significant in this text that it starts, Jesus said to his disciples. Jesus is not speaking generically to the crowd. You'll see those distinctions. When you're hearing, attend to the context in which Jesus is teaching or preaching or ministering. Who's present? And it gives some sense of what he's trying to teach. So in this particular case, he said to his disciples, he is speaking to the group that has made an intentional commitment. They're not just about hearing, at least that's what they have said. That was the commitment. The crowd is, they're intrigued. They come and listen for a while and something might be nice and flashy and splashy and it's like, which is okay, because sometimes I can remember being there and sometimes I still am. I get attracted because of the glitter of it, not because of the essence of it, but at least once I get hooked, hopefully I go the next step. And that's all this is. But in this case, Jesus has his disciples. He'd be speaking. Those who have intentionally said and made a conscious choice, I am giving over my life, whatever else I'm doing, the primary vocation, the primary essence of baptism is union with God. Some of us do it in married life, some of us do it religious life, some of us do it singly, some of us do it however, wherever we're working. That's all the external that helps us move in to that which is internal. And if it's not doing that, then we need to look at the external. And that was Benedict. So Jesus is talking to the oblates of St. Benedict. I want to focus particularly on the second half of this scripture text where it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I want to say in our world today, there's a lot of that. There is a lot of, praise God, praise Jesus, Lord, Lord. And Jesus is saying, it's not enough. It's not enough. The essence of this teaching is going so deep, being called to such a single focus, such a oneness of heart. That I dig deep. How many of you ever built a house? So, it's a good analogy. I wouldn't have the slightest notion about what to do to build a house, but I do know I wouldn't want it in a swamp. For Benedict, Christ was the rock. Christ was the rock. That's, I think, what compelled him so strongly when he first left everything and went to his cave. And being immersed, building his foundation, everything about him on the rock. There was nothing else. He wanted to be away from the distractions and everything in that world that tried to consume him. Now, we can understand that. On the one hand, the world of St. Benedict was very different than ours, and on the other hand, the way of the human seeking God is the same. Jesus is trying to tell the disciples, as he did speak to Benedict, you are to become me. That's how solid this is. That's how one we are. It's not about you being out there and saying thank you for me doing this hocus pocus in your life. But it's about you committing oneself to attain my mind, to attain my way of thinking, in the letter to the Romans, one of the lines St. Paul tells, and it's a profound line, I don't know if we focus on enough, he says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You have to change the way you're thinking. You have to change what your imagination conjures up. You have to become, and we're using these words today, enlightened. You have to become conscious. How many times in the scriptures does Jesus say, wake up? When I sit there and say, I'm wide awake, God. And I sit there a while. And I listen. And I think, oh. What is it I'm awake to? What do I notice in my life? Something that just came to me recently, very practical in the ordinary. I just got a change of cars. In the congregation, we don't own anything, so, but they're very good, and they keep track of what's the mileage and what kind of car you have and what you need, and they said, you need to change yours in because it's got too many miles. So I got this, it's a Corolla, Toyota Corolla. Do you know how many Toyota Corollas there are on the road? I never noticed one of them before I got this one. I thought, where in the world did everybody get one now that I have one? But what simple, it's that simple set, what came into my attention, my awareness, my consciousness, now I see it everywhere. And Jesus was teaching, that's the kind of consciousness I want for you, because you see like me. You hear like me. You have the mind of Christ. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's the whole, one of the primary foci of Benedict. The transformation of the human imagination. So what did he do? He writes a rule for beginners. When I read that, I thought, this is for beginners. But it is. Again, the genius he had, coming from where? He had already been in the cave, and obviously the Spirit at some point somehow got him out of the cave, because he ends up in the middle of community gathering others. I'm not sure he did that by choice. I don't think he did it by choice. They chose him at some point, and from what it sounds like, he flubbed up a few times and he learned from it. But that was the whole point. Be awake. Whatever's going on in your life, just be awake to what's happening. So he sets up this sense, well, if we're going to awaken to the heart of God, what needs to be in my life? How do we do this? And even within the monastic tradition, again, it is that sense of a group, a community going apart. And some days that might sound absolutely wonderful, but when you live it, you see how it pulls together the essence of Jesus' teachings. The prayer. How do you build this foundation? What's going to be the supports of this house that rests on Christ? How are you going to keep that secure? And for Benedict, prayer, both his communal prayer, personal prayer, Lectio Divina, study, reading, contemplation, feeding the soul, feeding the spirit. And then lest we get and walk into La La Land, there's the community to teach us how this works. You know, you've heard, maybe you haven't heard it, but I've said it at times on particular days. I love the world. It's people I can't stand. And that's where Jesus is. He's taking that which is divine, that which is all of God. The incarnation plops it right in the middle, right in the center of everything, and it says, this is who you are, this is how you were created, this is the space, this is the foundation, this is the rock out of which your life comes, and this is the way the world is transformed because you are. It's about personal transformation and conversion. That's all it is. Choosing a particular spiritual path, God is so amazing. For every human being on the planet, 6 billion plus, there is a spiritual path that God has opened and made available. My task is not to tell somebody else what their spiritual path is, but to discern mine and to live it. And by that I mean living, falling down, getting up, living, falling down, getting up. It's the journey, it's the pilgrimage. It's not a matter of whether I'm worthy. Worthy isn't a question. We spend a great deal of time asking God, well, am I worthy? What did Jesus say to Peter when he said to Peter, I want you to come. Come and follow me. What's Peter's first reaction? What did he say?
What's in it for me?
Well, he asked that later. After a while, he started thinking, what the heck did I sign up for anyway? He said, leave me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Now, does Jesus go on and give a whole long dissertation about, you know, you're right, Peter. You are a real jerk, and you've done this and this and this. But, you know, don't worry about it. No. There's nothing in Scripture ever where the person comes up and says, but I'm not worthy to do this. Jesus never dwells there. He said to Peter, come on, you're called. I've given you everything you need. I'm going to be with you every moment. And I have a mission for you. You've been called. You can say yes or no. Jesus is saying to the disciples, Jesus is saying to the oblates of Saint Benedict, build the foundation with the tools you have been given. Prayer, your study, the reading, work. I thought this was very, very insightful. Most people in the United States today, I don't have a statistic or anything, but my gut sense is most people in the United States today hate what they're doing. They hate the work they're doing. But there's something in this rule that says it doesn't matter what you do. And I think there are some things that people are doing that they shouldn't be, and there's a good reason they hate it. But I think a lot of it also is the mind with which they go to work. You can have two stone cutters doing the same job. They're hacking away at stones, hacking away at stones. You ask the first one, well, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just chipping away at rock. They ask the other, well, what are you doing? And he said, I'm building a cathedral. They're doing the same thing, chipping away at the rock, chipping away at the rock, chipping away. Well, what's different? The attitude, the mindset, the awareness, the consciousness, because it is engulfed with God. If everything in my being says, I am in the divine image, all that I do is touched by divinity, and I really believe that, the work that I do, whatever it is, pours out into the world a profound grace, a profound energy, a profound light. I had a friend, we have these rather intense conversations at times, and she said to me something that I just thought, no way to prove it. She said, I believe that the world has not disintegrated or not blown itself up because of the prayer of the monastic communities around the world, who in fact, by their prayer and their connectedness to God, emit an energy that overpowers and stabilizes the energy of the world to keep things in balance. That overpowering energy, that dominant good, that dominant force, that divine energy has been sustained, that in fact it has transformed things. Now we look at the world and we think, oh my gosh, right? You got a choice. And Benedict's rule does this, everything about it, your work, your supporting of one another, the hospitality, how you go about it, all of that. Because you can either keep your mind on God and see the way God sees, or you can keep your mind on your problems and the things that are going wrong. I no longer listen to the news. Not because that isn't happening, or you shut out and say, oh, that's, you know, I don't care that thousands of people are dying of hunger. I can't tolerate that. No. The news gives no hope. The good news gives hope. And really actually says, you call yourself a disciple, do you? Then you will do what I do, and far greater. Do we take that seriously? Do we really believe that? When you think of yourself, doing what Jesus did, and far greater because we are a community of believers. That was the point of the rule. In the midst of profound humility, now this isn't a sense of, I can do, I'm God. No, this is a sense of, I am divine. God lives within me. What else can I do but pour out love? No ego. No arrogance. Those are the things you sort of work out in community. In your family, in your relationships, with your children, with your spouse, your partner, whatever. Whatever relationship, in your work environment. You discover very quickly when one is not acting out of that which is divine and good and holy in themselves when two egos start clashing. And for Benedict, this living together and being in community was to bring to the attention that this was happening. But you do that because you know and love. If you know God, you know that God loves you. That's what gives you the strength and the ability to look at all this other stuff. When we do it the other way around, we can generally figure out how nasty, how bad, how awful we are. The only way to move past that is to know God. Because God says, Jesus says, that's not who you are. So building this house on rock, the whole discipline, all the basic elements of the rule of Saint Benedict are intended to build this foundation, to create this space within, so that in fact, no matter what happens on the outside, I remain who I am on the inside. When we move into this personal reflection time, I posed a question for you, but I'm thinking if that question helps, use it, and if not, don't. Do something else. Looking at the rule, what you understand, what you know at this point about the rule. And just think, and in your own life, look what's happened in the world. Even if we just take the United States, okay? And here in Michigan, unemployment. How do you withstand that? Family divisions. The world, tribes, nations fighting each other. Family. How do you withstand that? Illness, disease, all of those kinds of things are not intended to destroy people. And so Jesus is saying to the disciple, become like me. That's how serious you have to be about study and prayer and reflection. Become like me. And when all of this happens, you will still know the ground of your standing. Your house will stand. There will be a sense of security and a sense of peace. How does the rule of Benedict, as you have learned it and experienced it, done that for you? Where in your life is this happening? Or maybe where do you need to add a little more cement with the building blocks? Where do you need to dig a little deeper? Maybe the subwalls and all of that aren't sturdy enough. Okay?
During this time of reflection, I'm just going to turn on the waterfall. Take your time in prayer. Our schedule says that we have Mass at 10:45. I don't think that will actually happen. But this is what we can do. If we can get over to the chapel, the main chapel, in time to start the Mass at 11. To start the Mass at 11. So that means come in a little bit, you know, a few minutes before that. I think that'll kind of keep us on schedule. Just use this time as you will in terms of quiet and reflection. And I'll see you over at church.